Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, we're having difficulties. You know how they go with Blog Talk Radio. They are muting and disconnecting me. I was disconnected about four times during the intro to our show. But as always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad, the almighty, all-wise, true and living God, who has come to us this day and granted us a divine reminder and blessing in our person and in our presence. And that divine reminder is the last and the greatest of the messengers of God. He's the last and he's the greatest of the apostles and the prophets. He is none other than the most holy and humble Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names with love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe live and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites. Before we go into that, brothers and sisters, I want to make sure that we're still live on the air. If you can hear me, would someone please put up their hand, because we have a list of callers. And I don't know, the board is going in and out, and you know every time we try to do a long show, this is... Thank you, brothers. Thank you. Thank you. All praise is due to Allah. And we thank you for all of you who are joining us live and those who will join us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com and also formerly SalaamJournal.com and SalaamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my family, I send to you all, Assalamu alaikum. And this edition of the most powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth is titled The Collapse of the Old World and Why Adam Must Die. Now, there was some breaking news this morning. I have these economic clips, but there's some breaking news. Today, not too long ago, Turkey, the nation of Turkey, shot down a Russian SU-24, and both pilots in the SU-24 were killed. They were shot as they were parachuting to their safety. Listen to me good. This is an act of war. You understand? And believe me, you see, this plays into the collapse of the old world, because there's so much corruption. There's so much, and you have to understand that these are devils playing out this way. So we'll talk on that for a few minutes, and we'll tie it into the economic collapse and what's going on. And if you have any questions, you can raise your hand. If you have anything to say, you can also raise your hand, and we can talk about these issues here, because this is a spur-of-the-moment thing. But, and also, let me say this also before we go further. If I'm disconnected, hold on for a few minutes until I get back on the line, because they have done it about 3 or 4 times while the song was playing. Okay? So don't immediately hang up or log off or whatever, because Blog Talk likes to play a lot of tricks with this show. But anyway, now, you can believe that Davutoglu, the prime minister of Turkey, and Erdogan, the president of Turkey, did not take these actions without America and without NATO approval. What this is, they want to see how far that they can push the limits. But this goes back to what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that would happen in the Middle East. We told you this thing is at a hairpin's trigger, because the white man is fighting for his survival, especially that Caucasian from the Western world. He sees his rebels being routed, and he takes something. You would say, that's insanity. Why would Turkey do something? Well, Russia will never retaliate because of NATO. Well, we'll see. I want to read something to you all. This is the latest of this, and pay close attention to it. This happened while Sergei Lavrov, who is the foreign minister of the Russian Federation, was on his way to Turkey for a meeting with Turkish officials. It says Lavrov cancels his visit to Turkey after SU-24 down in over Syria. Now, this is what Putin had to say. Putin, the headline is, terrorist accomplices downed Russian jet. Moscow stabbed in the back. Now, for you to be stabbed in the back, there must have been some assurances given to you prior to this situation. There must have been a plan already issued and worked out between you and the person who stabbed you in the back. Otherwise, it would not come as a surprise or would not come as a stab in the back. This is how the devil conducts his business. This is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says. If you allow them to gain your trust, you're gone. Because they cannot hold on to their world. They cannot hold on to their word, brothers and sisters. listen to what Putin has to say. I want you to pay close attention to this. The report reads, Russia's President Vladimir Putin has described Turkey's downing of a Russian fighter jet conducting airstrikes against terrorists in Syria at the Turkey-Syrian border as a stab in the back. And this is the quote from Russia, from Vladimir Putin right here. This event is beyond the normal framework of fighting against terrorism. Of course, our military is doing a heroic work against terrorism. But the loss today is a stab in the back carried out by the accomplices of terrorists. I can't describe it in any other way. That's Putin. That's what he said. Now, Putin is on his way to visit Jordanian King Abdullah. Now, isn't this an event that this happens when Putin is out of the country or Putin is leaving the country and Lavrov is leaving the country? They're trying to catch the Russian hierarchy off guard. But listen to this. It says, Putin said the Russian aircraft were down over the territory of Syria with an air-to-air missile from a Turkish F-16, adding that it fell on the Syrian territory 4 kilometers or 2 miles from Turkey. Neither our pilots nor our jet threatened the territory of Turkey. This is obvious. They are fighting terrorists in the northern areas around Latakia, where militants are located, the Russian president said. Putin said the downing of the Russian plane will have serious consequences for Moscow Ankara ties. Now, I'm going to stop right there for a minute. What could this be? Could this be a military action? It could be. Or it could be economic action. If it were me, well, I won't telegraph that. But do you actually believe that you would actually risk economic ties with your largest trade partner? This is the largest market where you trade your goods to. This is the largest market that trades good to you. This is your largest energy supplier of oil and gas, right? And you would do something so stupidly. See, this is what the scriptures talk about when they say that Allah would have them in derision. They would think that they are going forward, but in reality, they are shooting themselves in the foot. And so as, man, a few brothers, we talked about this over and over, and not about this plane downing, but we knew something was in the making because we talked over this, and we've been talking over this for a while. And what we were trying to do is see, calculate on what would it take to bring Turkey from over there with America. Now, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that Turkey would fight on the side of Islam. But we know right now with our own eyes that they are in bed with the opposers of Islam, which is NATO. So there must be some events that take place that will either cause the people to overthrow the government, to cause the government to step down, a military coup, change the mind and heart of the government, or a war to replace or displace the government of Turkey. Is this it? I don't know. But this is something that you should think about. Remember, we said this, that the Middle East and North Africa is the jump-off place for all of the wars that you are now seeing and that you will see. This is the match that will spark and set the entire region on fire. We're watching it. Because the white world is desperate. The Turkish lira is in decline, total decline. It's doing a death spiral like the dollar. The dollar is in decline. The euro is in decline. And let us not forget that Russia decoupled not only the Russian economy, but decoupled the CIS, which these are the former nations that were in the Soviet Union together. They have a trade pact, just like you have the Commonwealth. With nations that was once ruled by Britain, they have a trade pact like Pakistan and India and Bangladesh and all. They are part of a Commonwealth system. Or the African nations that were once under France or once under Spain or once under Belgium, they have a trade pact, and this is what keeps the economies interconnected, right? Well, so too and Russia and some of the other nations have passed bills in their own legislature to decouple their economies from the dollar. And Russia is now willing to take other currencies outside of the dollar and the euro for trade with trade, with gas, with oil. So this can be seen as nothing but a provocation and a declaration of war from the West to the East. You understand? So, and also, this just didn't happen out of the blue. How did it happen when Turkey claims to be for Islam at this moment, and Russia Vladimir Putin delivers a handmade, gigantic Holy Quran to the Islamic Republic of Iran? These are signals of war. These are signals of change. And this is the collapse of the old world. And it shows you emphatically why Adam must die. Because his wickedness, his evil, his madness, his lust for blood and the shedding of blood cannot be quenched. Therefore, he must be killed. Just like, I don't care how you reform a mosquito. I don't care how much you try to reform a leech. No matter how you try to reform a bat, the nature of the mosquito, the nature of the leech, the nature of the bat is to suck the blood of others. And you cannot get them to do other than what nature put them in. Sometimes they may throw a hitch in it for a minute. You know how they do. They'll train an elephant or train a lion in a zoo, put him on clothes, put a gorilla in the zoo, put him on clothes, play with him, and then when he kills somebody, what happened? I don't know what went wrong. He's an animal. And his nature will shine through eventually. And what we're seeing today is that animal, that beast-like man. The scriptures describe him as a beast, right? He only had the number of the man. Who is the man that he had the number of? The original, the aboriginal black man, as we were created in stages of six. So he took that in his making. And our scientists wrote it, said, that he is a beast. And other scientists wrote that he is the blood shedder, the arch deceiver, the mischief maker. And in the Holy Quran, when they were talking to Yaqub in his making, they said, what was thou making except that which was caused mischief and the shedding of blood? Yaqub knew that he was going to cause a blood shedder. But this must be done because it was okayed by the God scientists to allow this different type of civilization, this different type of thought, this wisdom that had lied suppressed and dormant in the black nation for so long. We wanted to get a look at it, to see this wisdom. And that's why in the scriptures and in the church, when I was a child, I used to hear the preacher sometimes say, you know, they say, if you give me a form, I'll show you. Well, we gave him a form. And now he's showing us that pent-up wisdom that we knew nothing about. The collapse of the old world. And here's the proof why Adam must die. Because the wars and the constant perpetrating and prosecution of war can never bring about peace. You understand? Let's finish reading this. It says, Putin said that the downing of the Russian plane will have serious consequences for Moscow, Ankara ties. I don't know who was interested in what happened today, certainly not us. And instead of immediately getting in contact with us, as far as we know, the Turkish side immediately turned to their partners from NATO to discuss this incident, as if we shot down their plane and not their ours. Now stop right there. This shows you the guilt. This shows you that this was open and vicious and malicious. They didn't get in contact with Russia. They got in contact with NATO. It brings back to mind what Erdogan said a few weeks ago when he got mad with Russia because Russia wouldn't bow to him. And an attack on Turkey is an attack on NATO. Now it makes more sense today, you see. Time had to bring this about. There was plans in the works. As the Syrian Arab army mops the floor with these imported terrorists that have been flooded into Syria via Lebanon and via Jordan and via Turkey. And they are frustrated and flabbergasted at what speed that Russian bombing and the Syrian and the Hezbollah foot soldiers are wiping the floor with them. So their plans are up in smoke because every one of them in NATO have a vested interest in the overthrow of Assad. Because this would make Turkey an economic powerhouse because she would have a stranglehold on the Turkish pipeline and she would have a military veto over all of the actions that come through Iraq and Syria through the other pipeline. You understand? So this would give her more leverage over Europe. And this would also cut their dependence, Europe's dependence on Russia. All in America's plan, right? So you see the geopolitics or the pipeline politics that is being played. But the difference today is they didn't shoot down a Syrian fighter. They shot down a fighter with an army that can mop the floor with the Turkish military and most of NATO. So let's go to something while I'm talking on. Let's go back to chapter 40, Fall of America. Let me try to find my fall. Here it is right here. Here we go. Go back to chapter 40. I think it's page 170. Here we go. All right. Listen to what it says here. And we'll jump here because you've got to understand what's taking place here, black man and black woman, because your salvation, while you're looking at all of this, know that all of this is interconnected with the economic collapse of this world. Know that all of this must take place for you to be saved. I was listening to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in my Apple iPod. Brother Amir made me so many copies of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad on the Apple iPod. I got over 100 or something of him on there. And anyway, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was talking about why war must occur. And he was talking about why are the nations being pushed towards war. And he essentially explained that these things must take place before we can get out. God must show and prove to the world who this devil is. Then he must show and prove to the world that he can deliver you in the midst of the devil while bringing the devil to his knees. So therefore, war is ordained to take on the war maker. Oh, man, I'm telling you, it's lovely and beautiful when you understand the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So when you see these wars, know that a lot of they are ordained to take place. They are to weaken the power structure of the Anglo world. Because one more war means more expenditures. One more war means more loss of the lives of the imperial armies. One more war means less clout amongst the nations of the earth. One more war means a strain on their own societies. One more war brings us closer to the breaking point of the Anglo world. And we are witnessing the collapse of the old world. And we're getting a clear understanding of why Adam must die. Let's go to Fall of America, as I said. Remember this, at the bottom of the page, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us. America and England deposited their little brother Israel on foreign soil, Palestine, which is Arab land. So what we see going on with the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Al-Quds or Jerusalem, and what we see of the burning of Palestinian children, and what we're seeing of the demolition of the Palestinian housing at the behest of the terrorist Israeli government, the occupiers of that land that were put into power and into place by the great bloodshedders of the planet Earth. What we're seeing is a fulfillment of prophecy. These things must take place. Oh, why won't they come to a two-state solution? Oh, why give the Palestinians their rights because prophecy didn't say that it would do it. You understand? They cannot go other than what was prophesied by the divine prophets of God. Your understanding may be null, but you must have patience to wait on God to work his work, to bring it out so it can be clear. A week ago, 2 weeks ago, you didn't understand what Erdogan was saying. Today you see it. Now we'll see the backlash of what's taking place. Mohammed Golden says, they deprived the Arabs of their land, their own land, and sent them into exile. This is what you have when they talk about the occupied territories. All of Palestine is occupied, not just a few little tiny territories. The West Bank was once part of the Jordanian nation that was put together and pieced together by the colonial powers. Gaza was once part of Egypt. Right? So what if those were two separate pieces, then the occupied land of Israel or Palestine is all what you call Israel today, right? So this is a terrorist. So they banned the Palestinians from Israel proper. This is what Elijah Muhammad talked about. They deprived the Arabs of their own land and sent them into exile. He says, this injustice against the Arabs is now costing America the power and authority that she once exercised in the East. See, what they're saying that overnight, Russia's intervention changed, flipped the script. America was no longer the only sheriff in town, the only game to play. And with Russia showing off its new military capabilities and its discipline, the world had a chance to choose. And the nations are siding with the East now. And America, desperate as she is, and her minions in NATO, desperate as they are to keep the system propped up, did some insane gesture by shooting down a Russian warplane. But this is to be expected. Me and Brother Rashid was talking a few days ago, and he and I, we were talking over the situation, something like this, he and I and Brother Gerald. and we were talking, well, we can't put nothing past Erdogan and the rest of them because they're not thinking right. Allah has their brains, and he will force them to do what he wants them to do so that he can put into play what he said he was going to put into play through the mouths of his prophets. And this is what we're seeing, the inaction of prophecy being fulfilled. And all of this must take place for you to be delivered. Because if America is fighting abroad, if America is losing troops and losing money and losing faith and losing hope and losing everything that the empire once had in her grip, then she loses her grip at home with the people whom she has beaten and destroyed for nearly five centuries. Isn't God's work magnificent? Isn't it beautiful when you can see it actually unfolding before your very eyes? It's a wonderful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, because his words, his teachings are being vindicated. And we who stood, we're not talking about these so-called Muslims today who are reintegrating themselves with their former oppressors. We're talking about the ones who stand firm on the word of God as delivered by his last apostle. And we can prove what we're saying. We're doing it right now. We're showing it to you. You can't dispute it. You can say you don't like it. But we don't care what you don't like. Because sometimes you might not like the medicine that the doctor prescribed, but you have to take it to return back to a better health. Right? Muhammad goes and says this. This injustice against the Arab is now costing America the power and authority that she once exercised in the East. She is on her way out of the Near East. See, desperation sets in now because she will no longer have a stranglehold, a toehold in the areas that she once dominated. So she's out of her. She's on her way out of the Near East. That's the Middle East and North Africa, which is really one and the same. That's why Muhammad labeled it the Near East. He's talking about North Africa and the Middle East because the Middle East was once considered Africa. Or Asia, right? So, as he tells us this, how do we know that?
because we've reached that point of America being kicked out or pushed out of the Near East. Because he gives us guidance on what to look for, to look at the signs to see if what he says is now taking place. And we go forward and he says, this means bloodshed and plenty of it, right? What are we seeing over there today? Even Hillary Clinton had to admit that there's more blood being shed in the Middle East than she's ever seen. What did Elijah Muhammad say? She is on her way out of the Near East. This means bloodshed and plenty of it. Why? Because America is not willing to go willingly. Therefore, she must be forced out. If you come into my house and I say it's time to go, and you don't want to leave, then I'm going to force you out of my house because I have the right and the authority to do so. Right? This is the same situation. This is what we see taking place today. So Muhammad said, in the Near East, there stands navies which are neither American nor British. Now, as we talk about these things, and brothers and sisters, I really wanted to talk about a lot of economic situations. But because of this breaking news, we have to go into this to show the people the time. Now, a recent article came out a few days ago that admitted that there were Chinese Marines in Syria. I'm not saying they were in combat. I'm saying they were there. They were let off that aircraft carrier of China, and they have been training with Russia, Hezbollah, Iranian forces, Syrian forces, and the National Defense Forces of Syria, which are citizens trained to protect their neighborhoods and cities from the onslaught of incoming terrorists, right? All of them have all over there now. And we see that China has a dock in Djibouti. And I kept telling y'all, go back and listen to the shows for the last few years. I kept telling you about the Gulf of Aden and the Sea of Oman. You go look, and I kept telling you that there was Chinese warships there. What were they there for? They are there for a specific reason. Muhammad says, in the Near East, there stands navies which are neither American nor British. Okay, we see that over there. We see Russian ships over there. We see Iranians docking in Djibouti, docking in, off the coast of Sudan, going and making visits to the Syrian port of Latakia. We see that. We see the Chinese aircraft carrier make a dock in Latakia, Syria, right? But what is their purpose there? Muhammad gives the purpose in the end. We can see to see, we can calculate from what he said to what we see to what is happening. So we can prove it in time and on time. He says, they are there. What's their purpose, Elijah Muhammad? They are there to drive America out. They're not there to negotiate. They're not there, as they tell you, our partners. We are talking with our partners. No. Their purpose is to drive America out of the Near East. That's their purpose. This is what we're seeing. And desperation is sitting in. And America knows it. So she uses her imps, the military buildup. And think about this. Turkey does this in the midst of Russia's massive display of military power, when she deploys 50 to 60 more warships and strategic nuclear-armed bombers over that area. And when Russia deployed 10 more warships to the area. And notice Turkey didn't do this until France's aircraft carrier, the British destroyer, Belgium's frigate, and I think it's one more former colonial power sent a couple of ships there. Notice that that didn't take place until all of these pieces were into place. Hmm? Why? Everybody sees war but the so-called American Negro. And we don't see it because we don't understand that every war that is taking place is really for your salvation and for your benefit. Because you will be the pillars of the new world. Therefore, they want to keep you blind to the reality of the time and what must take place in this time that you may be freed. Muhammad goes and says, he tells us their purpose. They are there to drive America out. Listen to this. The skies beginning to thicken with foreign planes carrying deadly weapons, guns, and bombs. When we read that at the time years ago, and we was telling you what to expect. Go back and see. You can show whether or not we have been on time and in time. Go back and listen to the show. As a matter of fact, next Tuesday, by the grace of Almighty God Allah, you would not believe, will be our 1,000th show. 1,000. 1,000. That's a show every 2 days for over 6 years. But listen, you go back, and we told you that there will be a buildup of might of arms and warplanes in the Middle East. We told you these things, and we've named some of the partners who would be over there. And now you see the British. Now you see the Americans. You see the Russians. You even see the Chinese sliding in there. You see the French. Even Germany trying to get a piece of it. Right? Muhammad said, the skies over there are beginning to thicken with foreign planes, not domestic planes. For if he said domestic, we could have looked at the players in the region, like Qatar or Turkey alone, or Jordan, or Arabia, or something like that, or you could have looked at the people who are in that arena, but he specifically said foreign planes. This means an outsider coming inside to do some work. What type of work? Muhammad goes and says, they will not be satisfied as long as Israel is in Palestine. So, the buildup in Syria is to push America out. If you push America out, guess what happens? Her little minion over there called Israel is coming out too. And this is why America is fighting like hell, because they want to keep the facade as long as the guns can back Israel without rival. They could point to over in Palestine and say, that's Israel. Those are God's chosen people. All right? But as soon as America leaves, Israel cannot support or sustain herself because she's a hostile foreign entity in an environment that demands her removal. And once she is removed, the so-called American Negro can see that Israel didn't lie 5,000 miles away from the eastern shores of America. Israel is America, and you are those sacred vessels that have been kept hidden in the house of Israel. The collapse of the old world, and why Adam must die. All praise is due to Allah. Black man and black woman, I'm talking on Israel right now. In your Bible, it talks about an angel coming to give a blessing to Esau. But Jacob, or Yaqub, as it is written in Arabic, stole that blessing according to the scriptures. He hid, and he stole the blessing. He attacked the angel of God who was sent with a blessing for a particular person at a particular time. And the angel was telling him, let me go. He said, I can't let you go until you bless me. I'm going to hold you. I'm going to hold you. I'm going to hold you. So as the day began to break, the angel asked him, what's your name? He said, my name is Jacob. The angel said, go read this in your Bible. He says, thou shalt no longer be called Jacob. Thou shalt be called Israel. So the white man in America is all up in arms about Israel being the chosen people of God. They are not the chosen people of God. They are enemies to God. If you send someone to my house with a message for my sister or my brother, and I attack them, immediately I am your enemy. Right? If I take what they had, that's theft. Right? If I force them to give me their money out their pocket at the barrel of a gun, I'm a thief. And I'm an enemy not only to the person you sent, but to you. This is essentially what the Bible said that Jacob did to get the title of Israel. So everybody who is falling out in, oh, Israel, oh, you're falling out over thieves, over liars, over murderers, over bloodshedders, and I can prove it in your Bible. They are not the chosen ones. You are. And that's why the war is taking place in the Near East. wants to make manifest his power, his purpose, and his aims. So we go further in the fall of America. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us, and he says, they will not be satisfied as long as Israel is in Palestine. The ball has come to a bursting point. So now we see that the buildup has reached a point, a climactic point. And just like when you have a pimple, a boil or something on you, it hurts so bad that if you leave it there, it may get infected. So you must pop the bump. You must burst the cyst, right? Or else face internal problems. So this is where we at with America and NATO's meddling all over the world. We're at the bursting point. So Muhammad says, we're in a troubled world. We are in a world that is now erupting. Look at Asia. What's going on in Asia? Look at all over Africa. What's going on in Africa? Look at the Central and South America and the Caribbean. What's going on there? Look at Europe falling apart at its seams. And then take you another look at America as she's becoming more and more divided and more extreme by the hour. And then we go back and look at the Middle East. Do you see? We're in a troubled world. We're in a world that is now erupting. This is the day of judgment, where every hidden thing is made known. You can talk ethics, but if we measure your words by your actions, we will see that you have been the most unethical people and nation to ever exist. You can talk morality, but if we want to measure the actions behind the words of your morality, we will see that you're the most immoral people and nation to ever exist. You can talk human rights, but as we look at you trumpet around the globe, we can see that you are the number one violator of not only territorial and national sovereignty, but of human rights and human security and personal security in itself. You can fool some people, but you cannot fool those who have been enlightened and endowed with the divine spirit of God's messenger. And we're going to put it out there, and we'll make it clear to you, make it plain to you, that you may see and that you may understand the time in which we're in. This is the collapse of the old world, and it proves without a shadow of a doubt why Adam must die. Right? Right? You hear me? This is your little brother. Don't get mad. I'm just telling you the truth. And if you think what I'm saying is other than the truth, go get your Bible and I'll prove it to you. And if I can't prove it to you, you can feed me that whole book and I'll eat it without salt. All right? All praise is due to Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, Muhammad goes further. He says, listen, I read this to you, but now it takes on more importance because of what we're seeing happening over there. So after he talks about what's going on in the world and what's going on in the Middle East, he makes a transition back to you. And he specifically calls out a certain people, a certain portion of black people. He says, black man who was once a slave in America, you have a way of escape. So see, you see all of these things going on here. And you're saying, how can we get out the mist if thermonuclear war wipe out all life if they had a free hand to do it? See, when you hear this white man talking, he talks as though he has a free hand to do anything because he's been able to do anything that he'd like to do for the past 6,000 years. But his time is up, and the God is on the scene. There's a hidden power behind the scene that won't allow him to annihilate life. The situation in the universe as we created ourselves out of that first Adam won't allow him to extinguish the light of the black nation. Because the universe was made in such a way that the original life will always be cared for. You understand? So you can hear his boast of being able to destroy the earth. But that's just a boast. That's just a boast. He boasts of many things which are lies. You find out later, right? About his stealth capability when his stealth bomber was shot down over Yugoslavia. Huh? About him punking China out when you find out that China's submarine punked his whole aircraft carrier group out. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. And if you allow him to deceive you and lie to you, then you will be falling headlong as a victim to this immoral, it's not on your own terms. So for those of you who start your own organizations trying to enlighten black people, that's not the, I understand that you want to help your people. But the best way to help the people is to follow God's last man, right? If you look in the time of all the prophets, there were other people who stood up to try to help the people at the time that prophets came and messengers came and apostles came. But they did more harm after a while because the more they taught, the more they led the people away from the true purpose of God. So God brought it all to an end. Right? And this is what we see today. Everything that you think of is being brought to its knees right now. Because it's not in any way leading the people to their salvation, the way out of here. So he says, it is on condition that you submit to Allah and come follow me. This is the only way out. Some of us look at Elijah Muhammad and see him as insignificant because so many people came after him masquerading in his name. You can't see divinity in your own people. You can't see a God in your own people. So you keep the white Jesus up on your wall. You post him on Facebook. You hit him up on Twitter. And that white Jesus has never done anything but give you hell all the days of your sojourn here in America. So you get him and you color him in to your color. Then you put him on the wall and you ask him for some, and then he never answers. Right? This is the same as Abraham when he called out to the moon and he realized the moon was not God. And he called out to the stars and he realized that the stars were not God. And he looked at the greatest light in the sky and he called out to the sun, and finally he realized that the sun was not God. This is where we are today. You called out for everything on your help, but you realize that none of it has come to your aid to deliver your people because you're on the wrong path. But God is here, and he's going to correct your footsteps, and he intends to deliver you. And even if you are in opposition to him, when the time arrives, there's a set time for him to make you believe. And that's why you're seeing everything that you're seeing taking place. Because there is a set time for everything. And all of the chess pieces, you don't just get into a chess game and you have the opponent over there and you just go one move and say, checkmate. You don't do that. You put your pieces in on the board and then you strategically move them. Right? This is the same way God is doing. He has put his pieces on the board and now he's ready to call checkmate because he has beaten his opponent. He's the master strategist. All praise is due to Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, he goes and he says, this is the only way out. I am the door, and I have the key to your salvation. Reject it and die. We are in a world that is fallen. It will soon be going up in the flames. What are we talking about? The build-up for war. See? And this is what we see now. Let's go back to what Mr. Putin was talking about. He says, I don't know who was interested in what happened today. Well, we know who's interested in it. America, Brussels. Because not only was Putin exposing America's lies, Turkey's lies, NATO's lies, but he was also exposing the hollowness of the EU. So now you got big players with big interests at stake. So he goes and says, and instead of immediately getting in contact with us, as far as we know, the Turkish side immediately turned to their partners from NATO to discuss the incident, as if we had shot down their plane and not they ours, the Russian president said. Meanwhile, listen to this, Turkish Prime Minister Ahmet Davutoglu said in a speech in Ankara that his country has the right to respond if its airspace is violated, despite repeated warnings, adding that Turkey would do whatever is necessary to guarantee its security. Then he goes and says, we want an international community to know that we are ready for any kind of sacrifice when the security of and life of our citizens and our border security are concerned. Oh yeah, Mr. Davutoglu. Well, what about the citizens that you are killing through false flag terror events? What about the citizens that you have on house arrest? You have whole cities in Turkey on house arrest because they don't want to go along with your government's plan. See, something must take place in Turkey to shake her loose of have taken hold and laid hold to power in Turkey for Turkey to turn around and be on the side of Islam. You understand? So we see it step by step and the process in motion. And more, he says. Listen to this good. We do not adopt an approach that impeaches on the sovereignty of any country, but the world needs to know that it is our international right and our national duty to take measures against anybody who violates our borders. Now, Russia didn't violate their borders. They were 2 miles within Syrian territory. So how is that a justifiable? But see, this is what they do. This is what the devil does. He will commit an act of terror. Then he will blame someone. Then he will use his instruments of power, the propaganda, the media platform, to make you the victim and to the terrorist, to make you the victim and to the aggressor. Isn't that what America did in Ukraine? After having all of that stuff on video and audio tape about them spending billions of dollars over 5 years for this revolution to take place, to put in all of their people in place and getting all of those traitors paid off so that they can have a coup in Ukraine. Then after the coup took place and the people were ousted, and then the people who were ousted started protesting, America gave the people who they put in the power the right to shoot them. Now, when Russia was backing the government, Russia was telling the government not to shoot the protesters, and America was warning against economic sanctions if they shot. But as soon as her people were in power, they not only shot them, they burned houses full of them. And Russia is the aggressor, and America and NATO and Europe sanction Russia. Do you see the madness in this? Do you see the justification in God removing the endemic people? This is why they were only allowed 6 days to live. Because if we gave them 7 or 8, they might have the whole planet upside down and inside out. Yeah, it's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. I know the lines. I see hands up. I'll go to the lines real quick. 310, you on the Star and Crescent Report with your cyberspace family? I say unto you, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, brother. How you doing?
Oh, brother, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Just fine, brother. We said these things were going to take place, brother. And you can see it, you know. They may think that they can make Allah out alive, but Allah is the one that knows the future, not them. Putin have to respond. If not, they're going to shoot down more of his plane.
Mm-hmm.
You see how this thing is going to escalate?
There's
no way to stop.
And just like you and I were talking, you and I, Brother Gerald, we were talking how Allah was going to put a monkey wrench in his plan, how they keep talking about peace and our partners, and Allah was going to force them into a confrontation. And we see it.
You're right about that, brother. We see it.
All praise is due to Allah. All right, thank you, my brother. Assalamu alaikum. Now let me go to the 314. 314, you're on the Star and Crescent Report with your cyberspace family. I say unto you, assalamu alaikum. Okay. All right, we'll go to the 424. 424, you're on the Star and Crescent Report with your cyberspace family. I say unto you, assalamu alaikum.
Well, assalamu alaikum, sir. Good morning to you, brother.
Good morning, back at you, my brother.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah for that beautiful man from Sandersville, Georgia, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Only show that you're going to get this actual truth of what is taking place of geopolitics, brother, politics, world economic events, financial circumstances at the Star Treasure Report, brother. It's beautiful to have a brother like yourself to get this actual truth as taught by the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Not minister this, not brother that, not sister such, but the real man who met with God, Master Farhan Muhammad. You're laying it out, brother. James Brown would say, brother, you on the good foot today, black man.
All praise is due to Allah, brother. We
yes,
got to take
keep
this
on,
truth.
Brother.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. Yes, sir. Go ahead, brother.
Salaam alaikum. Brothers and sisters, I just want you all to understand that some of you see these events and you don't see them in light of prophecy. You don't see them in light of you separate them from the markets. You separate them from the currency wars. You separate them from the interconnected and how he had foretold that this was going to happen, and it was going to happen this way and that way. So for the last few weeks or so, Brother Gerald, Brother Rashid, we have been going, well, man, we see everything in place, but how will Turkey turn? Because they are so into the pockets of NATO. And so we're seeing this gradual move towards war and the gradual civil strife within Turkey itself, and we're seeing so many things at play that could change the dynamics of everything that you see and hear, because America knows that if Turkey flips, that's NATO, that's it, because Turkey has the second largest military, the second largest, most powerful military in NATO. And if Turkey flips, boom goes the dynamite for NATO. So what America is doing, she's trying to divide, which is foolish for Turkey to even go along with it. You're going to risk your nation's economic wealth and health and sacrifice and may cause a war against a nation that you cannot defeat. There was a report that came out, and we have it on the Hiram 1555 blog, that when Russia demonstrated some of their capabilities in Syria and also across the Baltic area, that American and NATO generals had to come to the agreement and come to the understanding that NATO had misread Russia all of these years, thinking that Russia was a third or fourth-rate military. But with the reforms introduced by Vladimir Putin and the new technology introduced in Russia, they had come to the conclusion that NATO did not stand a chance against Russia in a military confrontation. This memo must have never hit the desk of Erdogan or Davutoglu. You understand? So what they're doing, they're prying. They're pushing. When Syria didn't retaliate, when Erdogan and them shot down one of their warplanes, they continued to shoot down, and so Syria had to pull their warplanes back from the border. I don't think Russia would be so intimidated. I don't think so. So what you're seeing is Allah bringing Gog and Magog. This is what you're watching. Remember, the Quran talked about that. Remember, the Bible talked about that and how they would sally forth, meaning go forth, go out, and reduce the earth to a veritable hell. Look at what they're doing. They're always in opposition against each other, pulling and pulling, pulling and tugging one way or the other way. And it destroys civilization. It destroys independence of nations. It destroys cultures of people. This is what the scripture's talking about. They're fighting and deciding over Syria. But this has more economic and geopolitical ramifications. Because America knows prophecy. And she knows what's coming for doom. So she's on every level, at every place, trying to undermine the very principles of prophecy. Because she knows that she is number one on God's list for destruction. She knows this. So she is building up her might of arms. She's undermining governments. She's trying to suppress the people of these nations. She's trying to keep her military might based in these people's nations, even at the rising up of the people saying, leave us. Because she knows prophecy. She wants Russia out. One of the main reasons why she overthrew Gaddafi was the gold standard. Gaddafi was moving in all of Africa towards the gold standard. And he wanted a United States of Africa. He also wanted to use the wealth of Africa to bag Africa's gold dinar. This, you don't understand the geopolitical ramifications of this. If this were to occur, and they were in the final process of doing so, if this would have occurred overnight, not no month, not no year, not no decade down the line, overnight, the economic situation would have changed. Europe would have been caught red-handed. America would have been caught red-handed. after this took place, they said they had to get rid of Gaddafi because he was a unifying force on Africa. Now, after they removed Gaddafi, look at all the hell that they have spread to try to destabilize Africa. Look at all the hell that they have spread to keep Russia from intervening. They didn't think Russia had the military power to sustain any deployable forces far from her land. Now they're seeing differently. Now, the same goes with Syria. How goes this? If you look across North Africa, if you look there, you see an arc. And then if you look on the other side of the of North Africa, which is what they deem as the Middle East, you'll see an arc there, a waterway right through there. And on either side of that area, America, France, Germany, Canada too, Great Britain, and a host of other colonial powers either have bases there, training stations there, and almost all of those nations are destabilized or under the threat of being destabilized through force. That's what they call order out of chaos. We will put them in total chaos, and we'll take everything as an order of the day for us. We're going to take all of their resources, all of their independence, everything, and we're going to keep them divided, sectarian violence, to justify our position there so that we can rule infinity. This is what they're thinking. And so Syria plays into that because even during the bombardment of Libya, the only Muslim nation that stood, that did not go against Libya, was Syria. That was the only Muslim. They actually allowed Gaddafi's son to bounce his signal off Syrian satellite so that he can be picked up at first. They actually did that. The Syrian Arab Republic did that. So now you see America destabilizing and trying to overthrow Syria. All of this was in the plans decades ago. When you see American officials open up embassies, when you see American officials having dinners with the leaders and they're patting them on the back, you expect for something to happen because they are backstabbers, bloodshedders, and they can't help themselves, right? This is what you see. And so this thing plays in if Syria goes, if she goes down, if they allow America to go in there and set up safe zones, if they allow America to go in there and balkanize the country, if they allow America to go in there and oust Assad, oust essentially Russia, then Russia will be pushed back across the Bosphorus and it will be held hostage. This Navy would be held hostage to NATO because all of the former Baltic states across the Bosphorus, which are in the Black Sea, are NATO states now. And Turkey controls the entrance in and out of the Black Sea. So they would push Russia back, and they would have her navy under the gun from every direction. Right? This would make Russia more so a regional power than a global power, and it will give America time to plan more bases, more places to dominate for a longer period of time. America sees this. She thinks that she can make it happen, but God is the best planner. And he has planned for her demise in all of these things. As the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us, long before the devil was ever made, his doom was made before. His doom was made and ordained long before they allowed Yaqub to bring this deviant germ out of us and give it a form. And you see, they are desperate. Notice that, again, I keep telling you, look at these things for what they are and not for what you want them to be. Notice that all of these things happening militarily and politically are not happening in a void. They're happening as the currencies are in decline, as the economies are tailspinning into the oblivion, as the people of their nations are rising up in anger against austerity and theft and corruption. We're looking at systemic fraud, systemic greed, evil, exploitation. Isn't that the nature of the white man? He's got to exploit. He's got to conquer. He's got to be in the seat of power. Right? his wickedness has affected his own system. And that's why the scientists had already known long before we gave him the form. The scientists knew that the wickedness of this beast would undermine this beast and his society. What are they saying today? The system is undermined due to fraud, due to false policy, due to corruption and evil. Well, okay, who did it come from? Because you don't have many black people up in the financial sectors of America and in the European world. So we got to call an ace of ace and a spade of spade. If this is what is rampant in your system, then this must be what is pervasive in the minds and the hearts of the people who run your system. Right? And then when you look at it like that, you can see the collapse of the old world, and you see all of the pillars falling one by one by one, and then it is a justification for God to kill these people. And this is why Adam must die. God won't take him over to the seventh. He kills him on the sixth. He tells him, look, you got 6 days. And see, the white man really didn't rule his whole entire 6,000 years. Because we suppressed him and we threw him in the caves for 2,000 of those years. And then we sent the great prophet Musa or Moses to get him out of the caves and re-educate him and get him off his all fours. That's why the medical sign that you see in medicine with the two serpents around it, that's the staff of Moses. Moses had to go amongst the serpent people and civilize them because they had become savages on all four legs, on all four. The hands became legs too, and that's why you see the humps in the back. That's why you see the monkey tails, all of that, because as the Quran says, because they started trouble in heaven, a curse was put on them. Be ye apes and swine. And that's why the science has come to a conclusion that there's only a 2 to 5% difference in the genetic makeup of the gorilla and the genetic makeup of the Caucasian. But they call us the monkeys, right? But their DNA says it all day long. So you can argue all you want to, but you can't argue with reality and facts. Your genetic makeup tells us who the monkey is. And you got it wrong. You didn't evolve from the monkey. You devolved into the monkey. All praise is due to Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I remember when my twins were born. And my wife was upstairs in the hospital room. And my mother and I, we went to see my twins. And when we got there, they had in one of the incubators, not my twins, but they had a baby in the incubator. And I bumped my mom because the doctors were over there talking to the parents. And I bumped my mom, and I wanted to show her something. She saw it. I said, you see that over there? I said, go look. Come look. The baby was born with flippers, almost like duck feet, you know, the little spread in between, in the hands and in the feet, and had a monkey tail. And they were trying to figure out when they could have surgery to remove the I call them duck flappers or duck feet from between their fingers and hands and to cut off the monkey tail. This is what was going on in the hospital. And this is not no once-in-a-lifetime occurrences. I think the statistics say 3 in every 5 or 2 in every 5 white people who are born are born with tails. And I'm talking about fully functional tails. So again, and then we look at who likes to climb trees, who likes to climb mountains for a sport. You have some of these people have so much money that they build false mountains in their house, as they showed on TV the other day. The dude spent $10 million to build a 40-foot rock climbing thing in his house. That's their nature, because that's what they are. What I'm trying to do is acquaint you with the nature of the people whom you want to integrate into, because they can never fully accept you as their equal. What do you have to show that you're their equal? Huh? Do you own a square mile? Do you own a hospital? Do you own a manufacturing facility? What do you own? Well, I have $40 million. Yeah, but if they sanction you, you only have 40 million pieces of paper. So what can you say that gives you equality with them? The only thing that can put you on a level surpassing them is the divine knowledge of God and knowing the time and your place in the time of the collapse of the old world and knowing the real reason why Adam must die. Isn't it something? It's beautiful when you can understand this. The economy is in a tailspin. They're going to war. They're trying everything they can to prevent the fall. But Mr. Peter Schiff gives it to you like this, that regardless of what's going on, it's bad. Listen,
let's bring in Euro-Pacific Capital CEO Peter Schiff. Peter, we were just commenting that the minutes, it's like an ink blot. You can read it however you want to read it. So how do you read it?
Well, first of all, you know, according to the minutes, a rate hike has been a possibility all year long, and it hasn't happened. In fact, if you read the minutes, what it says is that a majority of members, not all, but a majority or most, believe that the conditions may be right for a rate hike in December, but they're not sure. They haven't made up their mind yet. It all depends on the data, and so they're going to make up their mind then. So I don't see how that's any different than anything they've said all year round and how people could read those minutes and jump to the conclusion that a December rate hike is a lock.
So what do you think happens then, Peter?
Well, I think that the Fed has not raised interest rates all year because they're afraid to do it. I think they're worried about the economy. They don't want to admit that, so they pretend they're going to raise rates, but they keep coming up with excuses why they're not going to do it. And there's plenty of excuses they could use not to raise rates in December. Now, maybe if we get to December and the stock market is near all-time highs and everybody thinks a rate hike is fine, is it possible that they'll deliver a quarter point and then try to talk it back by, you know, by saying one and done, we're not going to do any more? It's possible, but I think if they do that, they're going to regret it, because I think it's a very dangerous game the Fed is playing, because I do think the economy is decelerating. If they really were data dependent, the data has been coming out bad. Almost all the data that's come out since their last meeting has been bad, including all the data we got this week. I mean, even that overhyped jobs number, if you factor in that the prior 2 months were not revised up, which everybody thought was going to happen, and it didn't happen, for the prior 3 months, we didn't get more job creation than the Fed expected, and these are low-paying jobs. And look at the lousy numbers that have come out, the earnings from the big retailers. The economy is already decelerating, and the Fed still has rates at zero.
Peter, yeah. Brian Kelly. So I'm curious. So, I mean, basically, I agree with your economic analysis that things are slowing down. My question then is, do you then just outright short the S&P 500? Because I think if the Fed does not raise, the market could be disappointed.
I disagree. In fact, you know, I think one of the reasons the market is rising now is because the terrorist attacks in Europe make it likely that we'll get more QE in Europe, and therefore maybe the Fed won't move. And in fact, by talking about the Fed said today, if they do raise rates, that means that they're not going to raise them very much. So I think it's the easy money that is still propping up the market. And if the Fed doesn't raise rates, the market is going to like that, because that's all this market has. It's all about cheap money, QE. And if we lose that, the market's going down.
So, Peter, walk me through your analysis of what will happen here. I mean, you think that the Fed will probably go ahead in December. You think that we're in a terrible economic backdrop. So what? So does that mean that the economy is going to really be in trouble raises rates, but the stock market will continue to rally because they like the Fed hike?
Yeah, well, the stock market's been rallying for years, but the real economy has been getting worse for years.
So we continue with that divergent path, is what you're saying, in terms of the economy going worse.
This is a bubble. This is not a recovery. What the Fed has made a major mistake. They have made all the problems that caused the 2008 financial crisis worse. So now if they start to try to normalize interest rates, the next financial crisis is going to be much worse than the one in 2008, because all the problems that caused it are bigger. So that is the reality. And that's why I still think the Fed is likely, more likely, not to raise rates in December, but continue to pretend that a rate hike is just around the corner, but that the conditions are just not right, just doesn't support it.
Is this financial crisis that will be worse than 2008, will that be spurred by a Fed rate hike in December, or will that happen regardless of whether the Fed hikes in December or later on?
Oh, it's going to happen regardless, but I do believe that if the Fed hikes rates, it'll happen sooner rather than later, because the sooner they hike rates, the sooner they're going to have to cut them again and launch QE4 to try to reflate this bubble. But I think by then the markets are going to figure this out, and we're going to have a currency crisis and a sovereign debt crisis, and that's going to be much worse than the financial crisis of 2008, because there are no bailouts from that.
Peter, great to speak with you. Thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me on.
Peter Schiff, Euro Pacific Capital.
The end of their time has come. You know, I was talking to Brother Rashid and Brother Gerald, and Brother Rashid made the comment about the white horse. You know, we were the apocalypse, the four horsemen, and he talked about the white horse. And as he talked about, I thought over the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaching on the four horsemen and the apocalypse. And when in Revelation, I think it's Revelation 6, I believe it is, and it said, "And I looked, and there before me was a white horse. His rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest." This shows us that this is America and the white man in general. How did he come to power in Australia? Huh? Through the guns, through conquest. How did he become the leader in New Zealand? Through the same way. How did he become the leader in Morocco, the leader in Algeria, the leader in Egypt, the leader in the Middle East, the leaders in South and Central America and the Caribbean? How did he become the leader in North America? Through conquest, right? And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad makes it so clear about the apocalypse and what we are to expect, and we see it right now, that this man is hell-bent on forcing everybody to bow to his will, right? Either you are with us or you're against us. That is his mind. You will bow to us or we're going to try to take you off planet Earth. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, when he talks about the four horsemen and then he lays it out to us what to look for at that white horse. No, the white horse came first. He came. Why did he come first? Because this is his world. He was given a 6,000-year rule. But Muhammad goes and says, we don't want to know the truth. We don't think over these things. Because the white man don't want to tell you these things because the picture of it looks ugly. And I saw another horse, a black horse, and his rider had a pair of balances in his hand. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad explains, this is you and me in our time of the control of the world. We have been robbed of the truth by them, yet they are telling you this rider is your people on the black horse. They don't deny the fact that the black man will be the last. Notice that. We are looking in the apocalypse of the world of the white man, and he's telling you that he's a conqueror by nature. He's showing you the evidence of such, right? You never look at it like that, huh? And in the end, that black horse comes with the balances in his hand. Why balances? Why no gun? Because they teach you in the court system that there's a balance that hangs in line, and there's a balance of justice that must be meted out. So that black man, that black horse comes with balances in his hand to mete out justice. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad tells us that justice and judgment is what God would use in the last days to bring this evil beast and his world to his knees. So now we see the justice of them and how they divided us against each other and how they robbed us of the love and trust for each other. Now look at them fighting over in the Middle East. The world powers, the so-called civilized nations, right? They're at each other's throat. And they're not just at each other's throat with no 35. They're not just at each other's throat with no knife. They're not just at each other's throat on the telephones. They're over there with warplanes, warships, guns and bombs, and nuclear weapons. You understand? So God goes and breaks the unity of the white man to free you and to unify you under a divine power. Isn't that beautiful? If you cannot find the beauty in God's word, if you cannot find the beauty in what is going on today for your salvation, black man and black woman, you just lost. I want to just talk to you for a minute because time is of the essence. And a lot of us don't recognize where we are today. Where we are today, listen to me good. I'm going to play a clip. I'm going to replay this clip on the next show. But I want to play this clip here. It's a four-minute clip. This man who is in the market, this man who is deep into it, he's telling you what Western leaders are. He's telling you where their minds are. And remember, I tell you all the time that they're sociopaths, right? They're psychotic.
They're megalomaniacs. They're narcissistic. They're insane. Would you listen to what this white man says about the system and the people who run it?
So where is this all headed? I mean, we see Russia and China. I mean, we see what's happening in the Pacific. We see the Middle East is a gigantic mess. We see problems in Ukraine. And right now, it seems like we have a battle of banks. We have Russia and China, and then we have the Western world and the dollar, which is dying. So we see the economy now can slowly dying as time goes on. Where is all this heading?
It depends on who directs the transition. And obviously, the Western banking crime syndicate doesn't want to relinquish control. The problem is, they're a bunch of psychopaths. And I'm not using this term in colloquially, but in the purely clinical sense. And again, this is something we can illustrate by simply pointing to how these psychopaths have cannibalized their own power base. They've hollowed out the entire West in order to cannibalize the wealth and insert it into their own ill-gotten hoards. And it's the old expression about, a dog doesn't defecate in its own bed. Sane entities don't destroy their own power base. So, I mean, the cabal that currently controls Western banking and beneath them are governments, I mean, they're crazy. Their lust for stealing has unbalanced them to such an extent that they're destroying their own empire. And, of course, I just finished writing a commentary on this very subject, Russia and China, Victory by Default. And in that commentary, I simply pointed out that historically, this is what we tend to always see. Empires are not defeated by external rivals. They destroy themselves from within through a combination of corruption and arrogance. And, this is exactly what we see unfolding in the West. So the West is destroying itself. Obviously, the oligarchs in control don't want to surrender their control. And the most likely mechanism to attempt to hang on to the reins of power would be to stage some massive war. On the other side, we have Russia and China, which are trying to engineer a sane transition in passage of power from West to East. He who has the gold makes the rules. The East has the gold now. The West pretends to have some gold, but it doesn't really have any. In any legitimate global system, the East will be making the rules. So if the psychopaths in the West are not able to totally obstruct this transition, then we'll see something resembling an orderly process of movement from West to the East, and probably, because it's in the interests of Russia and China themselves, probably some effort to cushion the collapse of the West. Conversely, if the Western bankers maintain their grip on the levers of power, we're facing nothing less than Armageddon. There's deliberate Armageddon, because, as I say, they've destroyed their own empire, so the only way they can try to hang on to things is to reduce everything to rubble, and then to try to grasp the new reins of power that rise up out of the ashes of that.
So you're saying they're provoking some type of war if they don't get their way?
Well, we've seen that in Ukraine, on a daily basis. It's very obvious to anybody who has observed the situation that the previous legitimate government of Ukraine was overthrown by Western interests, who then planted their own thugs on the throne of that nation, and then they've engaged in any and every form of economic and military provocation imaginable. But Russia, of course, has refused to oblige them and become engaged in overt confrontation. It's operated with an enormous, an unbelievable amount of military restraint, despite the ludicrous propaganda you see from the West, where Russia is supposedly the instigator and provocateur here. I mean, this is more perversion. Everything has been initiated by the West. All the provocation comes from the West to the East. The East, Russia, has been a saint throughout this entire process. It has been guilty of no sins at all. And so, once again, we're dealing with utter perversion in terms of what is presented in the mainstream media versus what is actually occurring in the real world.
So he labeled them as sociopaths, psychotic, insane leaders, hell-bent on getting their way. are taking the world to Armageddon. Isn't that what we said? Isn't that what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches? And there will be a transition of power from the West to the East. And didn't Elijah Muhammad teach us that the East is preparing their guns to all America, to lay America low, and they're not going to give her another time to get herself together or to live off in peace? They're going to remove her from the face of the planet Earth. Isn't that what it was said? So what we see today is the fulfillment of prophecy. We're calculating time from when Elijah Muhammad spoke it up to today. And if you, listen, if you are out of step with time, you can be sincere, but you can be out of place and cause harm to yourself and those whom you love because they're not locking step with you. And we're going to have a show talking about that, and we're going to play the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and we're going to let him say it to you even better than we could ever say it to you, okay? Because some of you, you don't believe fat meat greasy. I don't care how much proof is given to you, especially you who claim to be followers of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You become like the Christian preachers, the Christian followers in the church. You just sit there, because what you're accustomed to is not what God really taught. When it meets up against what you believe, you reject it even though it's the truth. Muhammad tells us to honor the truth, regardless to whom or what, right? And so I know some of you say the brother teaching wrong, but listen to what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says. I guess you say you're preaching too long. When you go to analyze what is written, it takes you longer to do that than the writer. The writer can quickly write it out, but he didn't know what he had written. So I say, my beloved readers, it takes more time to untangle the entanglement than it did to tangle it up. So this is what I'm telling you. The devil has tangled your mind up so much that it takes so much time to untangle it that when we start getting into a groove of things, the time runs out. So Muhammad says, this is the end of the world. You should know what that world is and what it has done contrary to the world that is coming in, so you won't later say, I didn't see nothing wrong with the people. If they said that they were wrong, why didn't you prove this? Why didn't you prove that? Well, we are here and we are proving it now. Take, for instance, the white man's world. It is dying a natural death. Everything he lays his hands on is a failure. Is Elijah Muhammad telling us the truth? What about his money market? Huh? What about his precious metal market? What about his educational system? What about his job market? What about his industry? What about the manufacturing? What about his scientific prowess? Huh? What about his stranglehold on politics? What about his banking system? Talk back to me. Everything that he lays his hands on, it has now become a failure. Why? Because we are over the 6 days, and Adam is being put to rest, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us. And now we see the collapse of the old world with our own eyes. And we know that it is beautiful because the definition and the explanation has been given to us and has been proven to us.